produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, Paul's letter to the church of Ephesus. Church of Ephesus was a church that Paul was able to plan and strengthen, and he wanted them to understand what their Christian duties were in the body of Christ. And so Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 17, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling has given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness." Verse 20 says, "But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus." Verse 22 says, "That ye put off concerning the former conversations the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed." Let the church shout, "Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." The word of God for the people of God. I want to tag the text from this thought: let's straighten it out. Let's straighten it out. Look at your neighbor. Say, "Neighbor, let's straighten it out." Come on, look at somebody else and say, "Neighbor, we need to straighten it out." Let's straighten it out. God is saying to us, St. Mark, today, sit yourself down and talk to me. Tell me what's on your mind. I need you to talk to me. I need you to sit down for a moment and get quiet enough so that I can talk to you and you can talk to me. So many times we miss the very opportunity to be strengthened by God because we're so busy going throughout our day-to-day leisure and livelihood, and we miss God trying to straighten some things out in our lives because we just don't have time. We go about our day doing whatever we think that we need to do to get whatever we think we need to get handled, and we miss the opportunity to have great devotion with the Lord. And Paul puts it plainly in Ephesians chapter 4, because Paul focuses on Christian living and living out our calling by God. Paul gives us the mandate of Christian living, but he does not leave us in limbo, but he allows us to know that there are some things that we got to take off and there are some things that we got to put on. Do I have some help in the room? Paul focuses on Christians living lives worthy of their calling by the Lord Jesus Christ. But now Paul transitions to a new section in verses 17 through 32. He contrasts the new life believers have in Christ as opposed to the old life of the world. All of us have been saved by God's grace and God's grace alone. None of us can boast that we saved ourselves. And so Paul introduces us to a direct way of living and causes us to understand that we got some things we need to straighten out that will not please the Almighty God. Paul instructs the Ephesians not to share in the kind of immoral lifestyle which non-believers share in. Because the fact of the matter is that there should be a striking difference between Christians and worldly folk. You ought not look the same. You ought not do the same thing. You ought not wear the same type of dress that the world wears. Somebody ought to be able to look at your life and know that you are a child of God. And I tell us all the time that we don't have to wear a big cross around our neck, nor do we have to carry a big Bible under our arm to let the world know that we are children of the Most High God. But we can have a lifestyle, and the way we treat people will allow them to know that we serve the true and the living God. Now, the Ephesian Christians were mostly Gentiles in the sense of being non-Jewish. They were not descendants of Israel. And symbolically, the Gentiles mentioned in this text are those people who are separated from God. They are the ones, brothers and sisters, who are the unsaved ones. As this context are those people who are separated from God is shown, we know that as saved believers, the Ephesians were once spiritually Gentiles. But because of the precious blood being shed by Jesus on Calvary's cross, we are no longer Gentiles, but we've all been made children of the Most High God. And so Paul points out here that believers cannot continue to live as unbelievers and expect God to bless you. In other words, you cannot do things that the world do and expect to please God. But we got to know that we have to have a different mindset than that mindset of those who are waddling in sin. Unbelievers have a very different mindset from those of us who are saved by Christ. And Paul described that approach as futile, if you will. And ultimately, the goal of unbelievers have no point or purpose. They just live life haphazardly, doing any and everything that they feel that they are big and bad enough to do. But we operate under a different purpose. And our purpose is clear because we are saved by grace and grace alone. In contrast, believers live with a clear purpose, and that purpose is to glorify God through making disciples and living the best life you possibly can that will please God and bring honor to his name. Do I have some help in here? So our purpose is clear this morning, brothers and sisters. In other words, when you've been saved, the Bible said that we should reach back and help somebody else get saved. That means we need to evangelize and share Jesus now. That's why I had us to pull out our phones. and go to our Facebook page and do what we did earlier, because we need not to hide behind the tree and expect people to come to know who Jesus is. But we got to make up in our mind, brothers and sisters, that we're going to share Jesus and we're going to help somebody else get on the Lord's side. Well, here in our context, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 24 is a valuable, highly practical explanation of how to live out a Christian life. Psalm 1 puts it plainly for us as where we can get it by allowing us to know how we can live the blessed life. Psalm 1 and 1 says, blessed is the man, and that word in the context in the original Hebrew vernacular is, happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, preach pastor, and in that law does he meditate day and night. And she shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. That means you won't give up so easily. That means you won't throw in the towel so easily. That means you won't fold your tent just because somebody is talking about you. But you'll continue to keep on going because you know that there's a blessing in being planted. Planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in this season, and whatsoever he do shall prosper. If you want to prosper, you got to hang out with the Lord. You got to stay planted with God. You got to make sure you're reading your Bible more often than you're reading other books. You got to make sure that you're soaking the Bible up and allowing your life to reflect what the Bible says, so that when Jesus comes back for his bride, which is the church, you don't be left behind. Paul notes the difference between a life waddling in the power of sin as opposed to a life thriving in the power of Jesus Christ. You do know that we're supposed to be thriving, y'all, in Jesus Christ. So many Christians are going through so much because we really don't understand the very authority and the life that God has created for us. Because we don't take enough time to read and study God's word the way we really should, with simplicity and understanding. But I need to tell somebody in this room, there is no reason why your head should be hung down for a long time when you really know the Lord. I don't care what you are facing, what you are going through. Yes, we live in the flesh, and our first nature is to get sad when things don't go our way. But your second nature ought to kick in soon after, and you ought to say, but my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches in glory. That suggests if you're going through a hard time in your health and or in your wealth, you got to speak the word of God over your life. Life and know that you have authority to call those things that are not as though they were. Amen. We must thrive, not in our own power, but in the power of Jesus Christ. Christians are called on to put away. Let the church shout, put away. What should we put away, Pastor? I'm glad you asked. We should put away the old thinking, the old mindset, and the old way of living. Things that you used to do, you shouldn't do no more. Let me see if I can come to your door and ring your doorbell. If you used to go to the club every weekend and blow your check, come on, y'all ain't talking to me. Y'all think I didn't know it. And you bought everybody round of shots. Y'all ain't talking to me here. Amen. You shouldn't do that no more since you have become on the Lord's side. Amen. If you used to tip out the back door, you shouldn't be tipping out back doors no more. You should be able to come through the front because God has saved your life from a life of sin. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? That's why the old song says, I looked at my hand and my hand looked new. I looked at my feet and my feet looked new. Why? Because God has made a change in my life. Corinthians tells us that if any man be in Christ, he or she is a new creature. All things are passed away, and all new things have become the way of living. And so if we're going to straighten it out, if we're going to really put forth an effort to straighten our lives out the way that we can love everybody, be unified and dedicated to the common cause of Christian living, the first thing we must understand is that we must realize there is a crucial problem. There is a crucial problem. I'm not making it up. It's right there in verses 17 through 19. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of their ignorance due to the hardening of their heart. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. Let me see if I can unpack that. Brothers and sisters, Paul's challenge here is to mark the difference between the children of God and the children of the devil. You can only be one or the other. You cannot live in between. There's no such thing. And when we live in between, the Bible says in Revelation that God would rather you be hot and or cold. And he says, if you straddle the fence, which means to ride the middle and to ride the wave, he says, I'll spew you out of my mouth. So that should be a difference. You should either be a child of God or a child of the devil. We are to mark those distinctions between the saved and the lost, and we are to be different. In other words, as my granddaddy used to say it at the Samaritan church, he says, we must dare to be different. Amen. And we live in a world where it's unpopular to be different, but we have to stand on the word of God and not go with the status quo. Because people will call you all type of names and say you're a holy roller and say all type of malicious things against you. But God has the last say so. You got to make up in your mind who you're going to please in the first place. Are you going to be a people pleaser or are you going to be a God pleaser? Are you going to please God and do what God is calling you to do and receive the blessings because you're doing the right thing? Or are you going to be navigated and governed and ruled by people who can't carry you nowhere in the first place? Paul challenges us to make a difference in our lives. Paul knows three specific problems that plague the lost. He said there is a problem with their heads. Paul said that they walk in the vanity of their own mind. The word vanity means emptiness. The lost live empty lives because their minds are corrupt by the inborn sin that dwells in them. You remember when you were out there in the world, don't you? It ain't been that long ago. Amen. Amen. You ain't been that long ago. Amen. Amen. You remember how empty you felt because you had no hope and you were going around from place to place trying to fill voids that only God could fill. You tried people. People let you down. You tried places and you looked around and you figured out places get old. You tried many different things, but didn't nothing fill the void until you came into the knowledge of who Jesus really was. Gotta understand that they had a problem in their head, but not only did they have a problem in their head, they had a problem in their hearts. Paul says their understanding is darkened and they are alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. Now, ignorance is bliss. Ignorance suggests that you are unknowledgeable of a certain thing. teach, Pastor. In other words, their stubbornness caused them not to come into the knowledge of who Jesus really was. Because of their stubbornness of their heart, they were separated from the life that they could have lived in abundance and peace through Jesus Christ. And all of us can testify that we lived lives that were not conducive to pleasing God. But because we are saved now, we have to be different. Because we are saved, the very life of God defines us and empowers us each and every day. Let me say this to you. There's no reason why we cannot straighten out the crooked ways of our lives. And let me say this while I'm on this plane. All of us got some crooked ways in our lives. Boy, you didn't want nobody to know that, did you? You wanted people to think that you were an angel with a halo over your head. I know we dressed up this morning. We looking good in our first Sunday regalia. Yes, we are. But listen, all of us have sinned and come short. Y'all better not make me holler in this room. Come short of God's glory. That's why we can't look down on nobody when we think we found something out bad about them. Y'all won't talk to me. Amen. All of us have some jacked up ways that are not pleasing unto God. And if you don't do it, you thought about doing it. Oh, preach, Pastor. That's why we got to get off our high horses. Because God don't like ugly. And he ain't too fond about pretty neither. I wish I had somebody in the room. He ain't concerned about us putting on no airs in front of nobody. He's not concerned about how well you think you know the Bible. He's not concerned about how dressed up you are. He's concerned about how your heart is. I have a witness here. You can't walk past me and not speak to me. You're not operating under the power of God. You can't talk about me behind my back and think that God is going to be pleased with you. If I'm doing something you don't like, pray for me and ask God to help me along the way. I wish I had somebody in here. No, you can't mistreat us. We got to do better by one another. Too much tearing down going on in the body of Christ. We got to learn how to get up under one another and undergird each other and straighten this mess out so that God will be pleased with our lives. Gotta. We just got to do it. There's no other way. If we're going to be believers, we got to be believers. Ain't no way around it. We just got to do what the Lord has called us to do. And if it's something in our hearts that is not right, we need to bow down on our knees and go to God in prayer. Amen. Amen. That's why the Bible says don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Because you don't know if God gonna call you home while you mad and angry at somebody. Is my mic on this morning? And you don't want to be mad and angry and you die and God call you home, because you're going to have some problems with God. Amen, church. So why not get it right now while the Lord is giving us time? Amen. We got to remember. Realize that there's a crucial problem. That's the first step to recovery, y'all. Is to realize that there is a problem. Amen. And sometimes the problem is you. Can we be honest with ourselves? Amen. Amen. Not only must we realize there's a crucial problem, but secondly, church, we must recognize we have to operate in Christ's power. We got to operate in Christ's power. It's right there in verses 20 and 21, if you have not torn it out of your Bibles by now, the word of the Lord says in verse 20 and 21 that however is not the way of life you learn. When you heard about Christ and were taught in him and in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. Let me see if I can unpack this here. While we are to avoid being like the lost, we are to strive to be more like the Lord. Did you hear what I said? While we must avoid being like the lost, we must strive to be like the Lord. And having told us what we should not be, Paul now teaches us what we should be. He says that we should always be learned in Christ. Christ is our example, brothers and sisters, and the lost are motivated by their own lusts. But we are to be motivated by the Lord. And Paul holds Jesus Christ up against the backdrop of the sinfulness and wickedness of this lost world, and the contrast could not be greater. The phrase learned in Christ refers to being saved. When God saved us, he changed us. He made us like unto himself and delivered us from being like the world. Therefore, we have to use the example of Christ that is given unto us, not just on Sunday morning, but every day of the week. When a person claims to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and still lives like the world, they are either deceiving themselves, or they are a liar. Listen to the word of God. James chapter 4 and verse 4 says, whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy to God. 1 John 2, 3 through 6 says, and hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that said, I know God, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as Jesus walked. Brothers and sisters, the born again believer strives every day to be more like Jesus Christ. We discern the way that Jesus walked from what the Bible teaches us and by how the Spirit of God leads us within. This produces a life that is vastly different from the life lived in sin. The results in a life that is pleasing to the Father and one that emulates and imitates Jesus Christ in the world. It is the fulfillment of Philippians chapter 2 verse 5, which says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Christ is our example, and as we use the example of Christ each and every day, we will understand that we should be taught by Jesus Christ as well. When Christ came to us, he brought with him knowledge and truth. He taught us the truth about God, himself, his Holy Spirit, heaven, hell, sin, salvation, life, death, grace, faith, righteousness, eternity, judgment, and the process to live the blessed life. Well, some turned a deaf ear on him and realized later on that it's more blessed to listen to the Lord than it is for us to forget about what he's saying. 1 John 5 and 20 says, and we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us and understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the truth of God's word and eternal life. So we ought to be different from the lost world around us. We got to recognize that, listen, we have to operate in Jesus every single day. Every day. Bible says we got to take up our cross daily and follow the Lord. You can't operate in yourself. We cannot forget about operating in the Lord on no given day. Why? Because it is on that day that we don't strengthen ourselves in the Lord that chaos will happen and the devil will run rapid in our lives. Do I have a witness in the room? We ought to be discerning about learning more about God's word. And can I tell you in my closing that we never get too old to learn about God's word. Is my mic on? Some people think because they've been in church any length of time and they were the Sunday school teacher and the BTU teacher and the VBS teacher for 40 years, they think that they've arrived. Not so. Because God's word is always a mystery and it gives revelation every time you read it. You got to remember, we will never arrive and be perfect until the day of judgment. So brothers and sisters, two things I've tried to suggest to us. If we're going to straighten this stuff out, we got to realize that there's a crucial problem. Let the church shout, we got to realize that there is a crucial problem. Secondly, not only must we realize there is a crucial problem, but we got to recognize we have to operate in Christ's power. Let the church shout, we got to recognize we have to operate in Christ's power. Not only must we realize there was a crucial problem, recognize we have to operate in Christ's power, but the third and final thing I want to suggest to us in this sermon entitled Let's Straighten It Out is this. We have to remember transformation is a constant process. The church shout, transformation is a constant process. It's right there in the text, verses 22 through 24. Bible says, you were taught with regarding to your former way of living, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and true holiness. Brothers and sisters, since we've been changed by the power of God, and since we have been taught the truth about God and Jesus Christ, we ought to make some active changes in our everyday life. Nobody is perfect. Is my mic on? Nobody is perfect. Matter of fact, let me give you a Bible so you won't think Pastor making it up. There is nobody who is perfect, none but the Father. So since we are living in these old, imperfected bodies, and since we live in this old fleshly body, we got to make a conscious effort to make sure that we do all we can to change the trajectory of our lives and to change the way that we think. Three actions Paul mentioned in these three verses. He says, put off. Let the church out put off. What should I put off? Put off your old way of thinking. Your old way of living. And then he says in 23, verse number 23, he says, be renewed. Now we must understand, to be renewed, you got to change everything about yourself and allow God to work with you and ask God to allow his Holy Spirit to work through you every single day. After we put off, and after we have been renewed, thirdly and finally, we got to make sure that we put on. What should we put on? We got to put on the newness of Christ and his righteousness. Brothers and sisters, let me bid you farewell when I tell you there is something about the name of Jesus. When you call on the name of the Lord in your secret prayer, the Lord will, he'll make your life brand new. Well, we got some things that we gotta straighten out. Oh Lord, and since none of us are perfect, we gotta remember that we need the Lord to guide our footsteps. Woo, Lord, yes, we got to remember that as we take the Lord with us every single day, that he'll make our lives brand new. Have I got a witness here? And he will make the difference in our lives. Have mercy, Lord. I don't know who I'm talking to, but we got some stuff that we got to get right with the Lord. Because in case you didn't realize it or not, Jesus is on his way back. Have I got a witness here as we look around and see all of the things that is going on in our land, world, and country? We realize that Jesus, yes, is on his way back. Yes, and we gotta be ready when he cracks the sky. Have I got a witness here? And the Bible says that no man knows the day nor the hour when Jesus shall come. Not even the angels in heaven know when Jesus is going to come. But one thing we do know is that he's on his way back. And when he comes back, he's not coming back for dressed up believers on the outside, but he's coming back, y'all, for dressed up believers on the inside. In other words, we got to be more focused on making sure that our heart is right. Have I got a witness here? We got to get busy in making sure that our inside is right. Yes, Lord, and that our mind is renewed. Have I got a witness here? And I know, Lord, that it gets hard sometimes walking on this Christian journey. But you got to remember, Sandra, that you're not walking by yourself. But the Bible said, and lo, I'll be with you. Have I got a witness here? Even until the end of the world. I'm about to get happy here. Y'all excuse me now, because I've experienced how it feels for God to walk with me. Oh, yes, Lord. I've experienced how it feels for God to hold me up. Yes, Lord, when I felt so low, all I could do was look up. I know how it feels to have God to lift my heavy burden when the weight of the world was on my shoulders. And somebody here, you can testify that not only Pastor have felt it, but you also have felt God lift your heavy burden. Have I got a witness here? There were times where we couldn't see our way, but the Lord, he made a way. There were times where we thought that it was all over, and we felt like we were the end. But can I tell you, our testimony is this afternoon that God know how to carve a door
when you think that the enemy have got a witness here. Somebody in the room, you felt so sick that you thought you were going to die, but your testimony is God, he lifted you up. I wish I had a witness in here. Yeah. And you still, Lord have mercy, you still alive to testify that God, he's a healer. Have I got a witness here? I don't know how you feel about it, but that allows me to know that God, he'll never leave me, nor will he forsake me. Somebody here, Lord, Lord, you had to raise children by yourself. The man you thought were gonna be there with you, you figured out fast that he wasn't no good. But God stepped in and showed you that if you trust him, if you trust him, he will. I'm through with y'all now. He will. Yes, he will. He'll make the difference in your life. I don't know where you are in your life, but yes, sir, I know Jesus is real. Anybody here know he's real? Anybody up in St. Mark know he's real? Wave your hand. I'm about to jump through the roof. Wave your hand and say, I know he's real. How do you know, Pastor? I can feel him in my heart. Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? Shout yeah! Shout yeah! Shout yeah! Shout yeah! He died. Help me say died. He died. I thought I was in a Baptist church. He died. But that ain't the end of the story. This is why you can get up and straighten it out.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA. 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers. 1-888-201-5313.